This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Digging deeper with the teams you follow. It's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are happy to be joined by the publisher of GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, here on a Thursday morning following a K-State win at Cincinnati. Fitz, how are you?
I'm good. I'm over the trauma of the early portion of that game. I mean, it was 15-7, like almost 12 minutes into the game. Now I know how my wife chose me, because she probably looked at this and that thing's ugly, but it's a win.
And but he gets it done.
It gets done. And
that's right.
Technically, I never got it done because we don't have children. But the metaphor, the analogy is still there.
In other ways, look. I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah.
Once the calendar turns to March, I certainly don't care what it looks like for a team that has been streaky, if nothing else. But when, you know, it's healthy and at its best, we think probably still has a chance. Let's start with Coleman Hawkins, because they were at full strength finally. And, you know, it was a very Coleman Hawkins-y game, right? 9 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, a steal. You know, he had too many turnovers, and maybe that's rust. I don't know, but he clearly gives this team that final thing that it needs to have any chance. And it was good to see him back.
You're exactly right. He's a 6'10" guy that can close out a possession with a rebound. He can then turn and dribble it up court, although that was a part of his problems with turnovers, and shoot the three effectively, which he did at a key time for K-State. I think K-Staters, including myself, envisioned him as kind of the go-to guy, but he's more like a glue guy that connects all the other pieces. He wasn't very sharp last night. K-State had 12 turnovers and he had 6 of them. And going back and remembering the ones I can, they were bad. I mean, you know, get caught in the air and have no place to put the ball, you know, just kind of mistakes you make younger in your career. And it looked like, you know, he was a little bit rusty. Maybe he'll bounce back. Hopefully his knee is going to be good for Saturday. They'll need him against Iowa State. But one thing I didn't expect, well, I didn't expect him to play, but once he did, I never imagined he'd play 35 minutes. And that was a warrior attitude. He was pretty gimpy by the end, but he was out there.
And it makes you wonder what'll happen in the next one, because you could potentially rest him. I mean, there's not really much on the line here. I think he gets a 500 in conference play. It is senior day, which would, you know, probably be his last home crowd college basketball game. So maybe he'll go, maybe you rest him. I don't know. I just know they have to have him. It's interesting. Like, you can be the best player for your team and not be the team's go-to option offensively, right? Because yeah. I think that's what we're seeing. All of the things that have been said about him this year, like, he's their best player.
Yeah. Oh, well, best all-around player, certainly.
David Gasson, obviously, is having a renaissance season. And I don't want to take anything away from David Gasson. But yeah, Hawkins has to be there.
Well, at this point, this team doesn't have enough parts to play without a part.
Maybe that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think if you took Max Jones off the court, you took Doug McDaniels certainly off the court, this team would have some issues. But I think Hawkins is the biggest piece that connects everything together. And I was surprised he came back. I mean, it told me a lot about the young man, that he's invested in playing at K-State, not just for the money and not just to be the bridge to professional basketball, because he could have just sat the games out and probably K-State would have played three more games and be done with the season. But no, he came back, and now K-State's at 500 overall and in a position possibly to get a postseason bid, which his return would tell me is important to the team. And that's been something we wondered, if the team would want to play in NIT or the College Basketball Crown out in Las Vegas, a new event. But appears so. So now they're in a position at 500 to kind of make a run here, and Saturday becomes huge with Iowa State, because if you get that, even if you're one and done in Kansas City, you're going to be 500 at the end of the season, which I think is a requirement for any of that postseason.
Yeah, look, it's what are their chances, right? Like, are they matchup dependent? I don't know that they are matchup dependent. You know, like, KU feels a little matchup dependent. KU's certainly got a way higher upside, I think. But they feel a little more. I don't know that K-State's matchup dependent. I think K-State, when they do what they do, they just it's just like their whatever it is that they want to do and can do and at their top end, doesn't really matter who they're playing, I don't think.
I would say that the one thing that gives them problems, and they've solved it against Kansas because they match Coleman Hawkins up with Hunter Dickinson. Why they don't do that with other teams, I'm not sure. There's a history there between those two coming from the Big Ten. But when they have a dominant shot blocker in the post, David Gasson struggles with that because he's not a true post. I think that impacts him more than anything because it limits his ability to get some of those quick, efficient points around the rim that he does and did last night. But he does get distracted by a shot blocker because they block his shots. They make it really difficult on him.
What's your ideal matchup here? I mean, the bracket, you know, the bracket is kind of set. Like,
I think this team, in an odd way, needing wins, I think this team would want to play on the first day. That's an odd thing to say.
Yeah.
But you jump then into that, you know, the second day, you miss out probably on a cheap win against Colorado. Which, you know, helps your win-loss total, which is really the game K-State's playing right now. And you move right into that round and maybe have a better opponent. So I don't know. I don't know who is a good matchup for this team outside of Colorado.
I don't want to play Houston. No, I don't want to play Houston.
You want to be on the opposite side. If you want to make a run in this tournament, you want to be on the opposite side of Houston. They're clearly, in my eyes, the best team in this conference. And maybe Tech is closing that gap, but yeah, Houston's just totally dominant when they play to their game. And if you want to make a run, you better be on the opposite side of the bracket and hope someone takes them out along the way. Because I think Houston's a national championship caliber team.
I do too. And in fact, I might take them there.
Exactly.
Duke's going to be hard not to pick, but if I don't take Duke, it'll be Houston. And I don't know all the possibilities of the bracket and how it might lay out or anything like that. But I would say, if I'm K-State If I'm a K-State fan right now, and I, again, I don't think this is possible, but if it is, I'd want Kansas to have the chance to play Houston because they play them well. And then I'd want it, and then I'd want the piece of Tech or Arizona.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure outside of Kansas. So if you go outside, like obviously Tech and Arizona, but if you go outside those two teams and you look at everybody else in the conference at who might be able to knock off Houston and kind of give K-State that chance. I mean, who else can, maybe Iowa State? I don't think BYU is going to beat Houston. I don't think Baylor is going to beat Houston. I think it's got to be Kansas. I think it's got to be Kansas. Maybe Iowa State.
I guess Texas Tech is playing really good basketball, but you know.
But you wouldn't have. They're not. There's no chance, right? They could have Tech play Houston before they'd play Houston.
That's true.
I don't think
that's very true. That's a good point. But yeah, they're so good. They're just, and it's the defense that leads the way for them. And it was the defense that led the way for K-State, you know, last night. They played really sound defense. They didn't attack them. They didn't have a bunch of steals. They didn't break them down. They didn't press them. What they did was they just kind of stifled them. They always stayed between the offensive player for Cincinnati and the rim as best they could, particularly down the stretch. They made every shot contested. They closed out. They did some very fundamental things there on the defensive end down the stretch that were crucial. This team's going to play better than that. But to get that win, I think was really crucial, and now pick up a little momentum heading into Saturday and into the Big 12 tournament.
On the women's side, they're stumbling a little bit here, Fitz.
Yeah.
I think, what is it, three of the last four they've lost, albeit all the good teams. They'll begin their Big 12 tournament today. What's going on there, and can they recapture some of that lore that made us think they would have a chance to be like a Final Four caliber team?
Well, they got to get Lee back and healthy, and I don't know that that's going to happen. They might get her back, but healthy is the problem. And teams have kind of figured out how they play without her, and I think they've started to, you know, circle in on that with different things. And it's a shame. I mean, this is the exact same thing that happened last year. The results are appearing to be the same, if not worse, because if they lose too early in Kansas City, they have no chance probably of hosting a first and second round site. They seem to be on that line still as a four seed, honestly, Jacob, because they'll put 8,000 fans in the stands.
Yeah.
So I think they're kind of cheating the four line off the five or even six line. And they played 11 a.m. against UCF. They've got to win. As you mentioned, their losses have not been to bad teams. So you need to just continue through this bracket and as far as you can and kind of show something. You might want to beat someone along the way too. So I think these next few days are huge for K-State women.
All right, let's talk. I want to talk a little football with you, Fitz, before we let you go. We got a couple more minutes here. The big storyline right now is, you know, no more spring games. Is K-State doing a spring game? Have they been doing a spring game? Like people are making this out to be a bigger deal than I think it is. I don't even know who does spring games anymore.
Yeah, no, they have not done a spring game. And Chris Klieman, one of the reasons I love him much is he, like me, is very opposed to spring games. I think they're silly. I think they're dated. I think they were a great marketing tool available before we had social media and all this radio and all the YouTube and all the different ways to get your message out. I have pushed K-State to do it, which we're seeing, I think, other schools do, a spring festival. You know, have some types of events for the fans, maybe a concert, you know, anything you can think of to make it fun. And I don't know if they'll get around to that, but if there's money to be made in it, I think you'll see schools go to it because everyone's going to be squeezing bucks out of this for the revenue sharing, even the big schools, because they're going to keep up with, you know, Ohio State wants to keep up with Georgia and so on. So everyone's going to be squeezing bucks out of everything. And I think spring festivals where you might be able to make money off of fans coming to town might be a really cool thing.
I agree. I think that's a great idea. I think fans will get as much out. You probably have even more fans, right? You could make it a big fundraising event, music, skills challenge for the players.
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority, but a spring game has never been that interesting to me. Like, it just never has. But it's almost like it's being treated like there's a lot of things changing about college football that would tell you it's all about the money. I just don't think this is that big a deal.
Yeah. Spring games are boring. I mean, coaches don't want to show anything. They, you get players injured. And, you know, outside of a few big plays, there's not much to cheer about. I want to see the big guys get on a tug of war. I think fans would love that. I'd love to see the quarterbacks do a throwing challenge, or anyone else on the roster wants to. I want to know who the fastest guy on this team is at 40 yards or even 100 yards. I want to see those types of things. That would be awfully fun.
And then make live music and beer a part of it, too. I'm with you, Fitz. All right, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on social. Go find all the latest as we get ready for the postseason. Fitz, appreciate it.
Thanks, sir. Good talking to you.